Let me say again, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. I'm glad I can say this morning that it's well with my soul. A lot of times it's not well with my body. As you get older, you're going to find that out. There's aches and pains that are there, weren't there before. There are a lot of times in the stresses of this life, it's not well with my mind. I struggle like everybody else to keep my focus on the Lord. It just seems like there's so many more storms the older I get. And I thought maybe there would be less of them, but I'm finding out there are more because you've got more invested in people and more people you love. And when they hurt, you hurt. And there are times it's not well with my mind. But I'm so glad it's always well with my soul. What God gave me as a little 12-year-old boy was a well of salvation springing up under life everlasting. And every good thing in my life comes from that well. And there are times that maybe there's stuff in the way and I don't get a hold of the water like I should. There are times that well begins to percolate and wash me from the inside out. But thanks be to God, we have a well of hope down inside of us this morning. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the 5th chapter of the book of the Gospel of Matthew. The 5th chapter. And let me say this, that this scripture and you know, this is where this message came from. I'll be honest with you. This woman came through, and I've seen a lot of these t-shirts lately, and it says on it, blessed life. Have y'all seen any of those t-shirts? And I believe that so much of the apostasy and this health, wealth, prosperity doctrine we've allowed maybe to come in and pull our eyes off the fact that we are blessed. That I don't believe what they believe. I don't. I don't believe that, you know, I can just name it and claim it. I despise that type of theology. But I do know this, that when the Lord saved my soul, washed away my sin, nailed my sin to the cross, that I am blessed. And that when sin does abound, grace does much more abound. I'm saved. It'll get no worse down here. You know, no matter what happens down here, when I die, it'll all end. And I'm going to a place, and I'm going to a city where there'll be no need of light, for He'll be the light thereof. We are a blessed people. But let me say this, listen. Being blessed is not this prosperity thought. The truly blessed life Jesus talked about, the greatest message ever preached. And boys, I don't know if y'all have ever thought about this, but there are messages that we've heard as preachers and you as folks out, you know, out here that you've heard that you can remember. I guess if I asked you right now, is there a message a man preached that stuck with you maybe more than any other message? You would say, oh, I've heard a great message. And no doubt we've heard some great messages over our lifetime. But the greatest message ever preached was preached in this 5th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Wasn't preached behind this pulpit or the pulpits of America. It was preached there on the Mount of Olives by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said they were a multitude that went with Him up into the mountain, and there He sat and He began to teach and preach to His disciples. Here's what the Lord said. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, For they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil falsely or against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Let us pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father God, as we come to you, the most precious name ever uttered by lips, that being the name of Jesus. God, how thankful we are. We are blessed because we've been saved. God, I thank you, Lord, that the blessed life is not what so many make it out to be. It's not about me getting what I want or me using you and bringing a list to you and saying, God, I want you to do this and this and this for me. God, the blessed life is a life of submission where we come to you and say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. God, I pray for each and every one that is under the sound of our voice. God, I pray, speak to us as only you can. God, the blessed life is not a life with abundance of things or an abundance of money or a big bank account or a new home. The blessed life is to know that we're yours and you are ours. God, having said that, I am so blessed. Lord, thank you for all that you've done and God, all you're going to do. Now, God, speak to us in Christ's name. Amen and amen. If I had a thought this morning, it would simply be this, the blessed life. Are you living a blessed life? You know, so often we greet one another and y'all ask me how I'm doing. And sometimes I guess I'm too honest. I say I'm feeling really old and outdated this morning. And that's true. But in reality, when somebody asks us that question, we can all say that we are blessed. And that blessing comes from being born again. It comes from being saved. It comes from the peace that comes through the salvation of God. There are a lot of people that in our day and age, they're looking for peace and they're looking for blessing in the financial gain of this world. They count blessing by what they can see in their bank account or the car they drive or the home that they own. And they go around seeking all these different things and never truly finding satisfaction in the Lord. But I can say this morning, because I know I'm saved, my soul is truly satisfied. Now I'm going to say this, I would not trade my salvation for anybody else's out there. And I believe there are a lot of you that are saved. I know you are. I feel it. My heart bears witness. But I wouldn't trade what I've got for what you've got. You know why? Because I know what it is. I get to live this salvation. I didn't just experience it as a 12-year-old boy. I'm living it today. Let me say this, it's good to be saved. And I'm blessed this morning because of what Christ did for me on Calvary. Now out of that everything else flows. The Lord said, and this will absolutely destroy the prosperity gospel and the prosperity doctrine. Blessed are the poor in spirit. My goodness, we live in a day and age where so many are saying, well, the Lord, He'll bless you and He'll give you this and give you that. You know what? Sometimes to be poor is to be blessed in spirit. It means that, listen, you're not seeking after the money or the things of the world. And there are a lot of people that have got a lot of stuff that are the most miserable people on the face of the earth. And there are a lot of people ain't got two dimes to rub together. And I know that's not good either. English. They ain't got two dimes to rub together, but they're the happiest people in the world. You know what makes you truly happy is to know who you are and to know whose you are and to know where you're going and to know your sins are forgiven. And it might get real bad down here, but I'm going to a place where it's going to be good forever. Amen. We're blessed. Whenever Kayla and Hunter were young, we went to the circus. We got on this MARTA train and rode, I believe it was Philip Serena. And there was this, on the way back, there was this African-American man. And he had the biggest smile on his face. I mean, like the sun is shining. And the Lord spoke to me and said, son, you go over there and you step beside that man and you strike up a conversation with him. You say, did the Lord speak to you? I'm like, no, it was a small, still voice. And I went over there and I sat down beside the man. He had a bag and he had a box of shoes in the bag. Or not a box, but shoes in the bag. And I sat down beside him and I said, "Sir, I don't mean to interrupt. You got just a moment?" He said, "Absolutely." I said, "I notice you're sitting there and you're just glowing. I know you seem so happy. And I just want to know, why are you so happy? Why do you look like you look?" And he said, "I'd be glad to tell you." He said, "You know what? Years ago, son," he said, "I was a butcher in Atlanta. And I made a big salary and I had a big home and a fine family, but I had an empty hole down inside of my heart." He said, "I began to try to fill that void and fill that hole with everything." He said, "First of all, I tried to do it with my family and they couldn't fill that void down in my heart." He said, "I tried to do it with relationships outside of my marriage and it cost me my marriage." He said, "I tried to do it with alcohol and I became an alcoholic, and none of this stuff could fill the hole and the void in my heart." He said, "About 2 weeks ago, I found myself at a shelter in Atlanta." He said, "I'd come off of a drunk and I was, you know, in my right mind and sober. And there was a man come up and asked me, said, 'Sir, I just feel like you've been looking for something all your life and not been able to find it.' And he said, 'That's me. That's me.' He said, 'You know what? That man told me about another man that died on a cross and shed his blood.' He said, 'I want you to know, sir, I believed in that man.' He said, 'I may not have but the shoes in this bag,' he said, 'but I know I'm saved.' And there was a group gathered around us, little old black mamas, people gathered around to listen. And that little old mama, she'd go, 'Amen, amen. Oh, it got good and it got rich.' And we got up and began to weep and embrace one another. And I said, 'Sir, you are rich.'" Glory to the Lamb. Hey, I tell you, we may not have all the stuff, but the stuff don't make you happy anyway. If you got Jesus, you are rich. Y'all remember that? Hunter don't kind of remembers everything. That's about right. Listen. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn." We live in a society for years that taught us that to shed tears and show emotion was a sign of weakness. My favorite scripture in the Bible, it's the only one that I can quote and know I've got it right. And it's the 11th chapter, 35th verse of the Gospel of John. Jesus wept. Blessed are they. When things happen and we hurt, all that pain is compressed down on the inside of us, and all the disappointments in life, or we lose somebody that we love, something tragic happens, and all that stuff is compressed down on the inside of us. And I'm going to tell you something, sometimes it's good just to open up your eyes and let the tears flow and pour your heart out before the Lord, because all that pain and all that sorrow, if we keep shoving it down, it'll turn into bitterness. It will sour within us. Blessed are they that mourn, for thank God there's a comforter. The God of all comfort can comfort us when nobody else can. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Let me ask you this. Do I have any mourners in the house? Have you ever wept before the Lord? Let me ask you this. Did you find peace after your weeping? You know what the Bible said, that weeping endures for the night. But joy cometh in the morning. Let me say this. When we talk about weeping enduring for a night, sometimes weeping endures for a season. Sometimes weeping endures for a long period of time. But thank God, when we finally find relief. Now I want to say this to anybody in the house of God this morning, whose soul has been wounded and who's broken, who's mourned, and it just seems like you can't get rid of all the pain that's inside of you. I want to tell you this, just keep mourning. Just keep crying out to the Lord, because I'll assure you of this, just as sure as there's a time of weeping, there's also a time of rejoicing. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. There are a lot of people that don't understand what that word meek means anymore. It is to be gentle. It is to be kind. It's to have a kind and a gentle spirit. Meekness is not weakness. Somebody say amen. Just because a man is meek doesn't mean that he's weak. And I'll tell you this, serving the Lord, we've got to be meek and understand that everybody has their own stuff and their own situation. And we've got to love him no matter what. And when we're meek and tender toward one another, it matters. But I'm afraid we're living in a day where so many have gotten cold and callous, and we're no longer affected by the problems of other people. We need to have meekness. Was there any more meek and lowly than the Lord Jesus Christ? Absolutely not. Willing to go home with sinners. Willing to save and seek and save that which is lost. I'm going to tell you, he was meek and he was gentle. Now listen, there's a move in modern day religion, and it's going on all around us, where men are standing up and sticking out their chest and saying, you know what? I'll not befriend sinners. I won't be a part of the world. Let me say this. We're not a part of the world, but we're to love everybody. And just because I stand against the way somebody else is living don't mean that I hate them. Just because I take a stand and believe that what God said is true, and I believe a man's a man and a woman's a woman, it doesn't mean that I'm against anybody else. But I'll tell you this, what God said is true. But I have to do it with meekness, not with haughtiness. But with meekness and with love and compassion. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I heard a man say it like this. He said, there are a lot of people in the world today that are out in a desert. Does anybody believe this world is a desert place? There's no life in it. And he said, I liken people today unto those that are in the desert with a shovel in their hand. And the deeper they dig, all they find is sand. They're digging in a desert for water. But how many of you know that woman at the well came with a water pot but left with a well? She came with a water pot, just wanting enough to do it for the day. But when she got up and walked away, she walked away with a well of salvation that was forever. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Jesus told in the 6th chapter of the Gospel of John, those Pharisees, he said, your fathers, they ate bread in the wilderness and they're dead. He said, I'm going to tell you, the bread you need is he that came down from the Father, not the man in the Old Testament, but the man that was God's Son, the man, Jesus Christ. He said, if you eat of what I give you, you'll never hunger again. Does anybody in the house ever gets hungry? I can hear your stomachs growling sometimes when I walk through there. Yeah. Nobody will admit to it. You know what? Listen. When we hunger after the Lord, and if we'll hunger after the things of God, there's a fullness in that. There are people that are trying to fill that void and that hunger and that thirst with things that just won't do it. You need Jesus, and I need Jesus. Listen, I don't know how many we'll get into. I'm going to try to be quick, but I want to follow the Lord. Listen, it says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. That's a message within itself. Let's park there for just a minute. Do you see a condition on that? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. If I want the mercy of God, I've got to exude the mercy of God. Let me turn that around. If I've experienced the mercy of God, ought not I show the mercy of God? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Let me tell you something, my brothers and sisters. The whole witness of my salvation, the whole witness of His mercy in my life is not what I say. It's how I treat people. It's the mercy that I live with. The mercy that I give. The forgiveness that I give. If He's given me mercy, ought not I give others around me mercy? Ask you a question. Is there anybody in here that needs mercy? If you're married, you do. Listen, we live in a world that whenever they find your weakness, they will burrow it and push. That's what I despise about high school. I mean, they find a weakness in a child or in middle school now. And now, even younger kids, they'll find a weakness, sweetheart. They'll find something that may be a weakness or something to make. And they'll just drive and drive and pick until they break the will and the spirit of that child. But I've come to tell you, listen, God is merciful. He don't pick at you. He loves you. Thank God this morning, everybody else may pick at me, but my Jesus, He loves me. And I'm going to tell you this. I need mercy. I don't just need the mercy of God, but I need your mercy. Junior Waddell, anybody heard old preacher Junior Waddell? You know what Junior said? He said, if you'll forgive me of my faults, I'll forgive you of yours. We need mercy. He said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. He said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Is there anybody? Now, I've always read the scripture, and I've said, well, yeah, if we're pure in heart, one day we're going to see the Lord. But do you realize that if you're pure in heart, you can see God's handiwork all around you? If your heart is pure, you'll find God working in your friend's life. You'll find God working in other people's lives. You'll see the handiwork of God around you. Realize those that are corrupt in their heart, they look around and they say, well, this just happened. The beauty of God's expanse, it just happened. I'm going to tell you, for the pure in heart, we know who made it. Our Heavenly Father. He said, they shall see God. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever seen God? Now I know no man shall look upon Him and live. That's what He told me. All right, I'm going to rephrase that question just a little. Have you ever seen God work? Let me ask you another question. Have you ever felt God work? See, there are a lot of us that we've got the caution tape around us because God is heavily at work in our lives. And it's a constant process of tearing down what we want and getting us a place to where we submit to the will of God. Thank God this morning that the pure in heart, they see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Do I have anybody in the house that has to have their way? Oh, don't you point Him out. No. Oh, I love you, son, both of you. Let me tell you something. You'll find out sometimes when you get your way, it ain't good at all. I promise you. Blessed are the peacemakers. Have you ever seen that person that comes on the scene and just by their arrival, there's peace? Have you seen the other type that when they show up, it's chaos? Blessed are the peacemakers. You know what? And this is what causes the blessing of God. When I'm a peacemaker, I don't have ill will towards somebody and they don't have it toward me. I don't have that on my conscience. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children. Blessed are you when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. For righteous sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you, for my sake. Let me say this, and I'm closing. We've never lived in a time of young people. I want you to pay attention to me. Those of you that are in college, those of you that are in school, I want you to hear this. Listen, you're going to pay more of a price for taking a stand for the Lord than anybody ever thought in the day and age that you live. It may cost you friendships. It may cost you that boyfriend that you like or that guy. I'm going to tell you this. Take that stand anyway. You're blessed when they persecute you. How many times have I heard you say to me, I just don't fit in. You don't fit in. You're the Lord. You've been saved. You've been called from death unto life. You don't fit. God never meant for you to fit. No, it's tough. Coleman, son, you're in a world now. It's different. I know, son, and I realize there's a lot of pressure in that because you have the Lord in your heart and you know who you are and so many of you others. But let me say this, listen, don't allow people to dissuade you from living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed are you when they persecute you. I told you I'm closing, I promise. It's what happens when a man don't preach for a week, right? So all these things we're blessed when we do them. Bear, this is what our Sunday school lesson was. Verse 12, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Now, a bookends to these scriptures. In verse 3, he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In verse 12, great is your reward in heaven. I want you to know, listen, there is a reward that is not of this earth. Money can't buy it. Money can't purchase it. It's a free gift of God. And when we get over there and we see Jesus and we hear Him say, well done, my good and faithful servant, it'll be worth it all. The blessed life. The truly blessed life. Is anybody living the truly blessed life? Stand to your feet this morning. Somebody said the truly blessed life. Lord, I thought that meant it come without trouble. That ain't the life I've got. Well, I thought it come without heartache. Let me tell you something. Jesus wept. He felt pain. He was ridiculed. You think we're going to be any different? The truly blessed life is knowing who you are because you know whose you are. Come get us a song, Steve. Danny, if y'all don't mind. Let me say this. If you've never been saved by the grace of God, you're not living a truly blessed life. And if you are saved and you're doing your best to live for the Lord, I want to encourage you. You just keep living for Jesus. And I know there are ups and downs. I know there are hills and valleys. I understand all that. But I'm going to tell you this. Whenever the Lord calls us out of this world, whether it be by the grave or whether it be by His coming in the clouds of glory, I'll promise you this. When we see Him, we'll take no more thought of all the trouble and the sorrow we had down here. It'll be worth it. And I'll tell you this, it's worth it even now. What you got, Steve? 431. God do bless.